When Elisha wanted to minister, he said, bring me a minstrel. And the Bible says, on the hand of the Lord. This generation knows very little about the presence of God. We have a lot of hype. But by the grace and the mercy of God, what we see here now is the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. Through the years, you made it clear. Bid me sing it one more time. One more time.
Through Charles. Your Lord, yes, you've made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be.
Your word contained the plan. Oh, they just could not understand.
Your most awesome work was done
through the frailty of your son. Of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai,
Ethan God of Adonai.
We now praise.
We now praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Our Father and our God, as we go into your word, we ask humbly that this same presence, the same unction, the same anointing takes us into your word. Oh Lord, anoint me afresh that I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing on the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said. This afternoon, we're going to continue our series on overcoming rebellion, the Davidic dynasty. In our last teaching, we stopped at Absalom's murder of his brother Amnon, who had raped his sister in 2 Samuel chapter 13, 2 Samuel chapter 13. We, in the last verses from 23 downwards, I'm not going to read everything. As the Holy Spirit directs me, I'll just highlight a few verses and give you the general discourse. Absalom invites all his half-brothers to his house for his sheep sharing. He goes to David. He actually invited David. Then David said, look, it's going to cost you too much money for you to bring me, the king. You know, the king's house is very large number. It's going to be very expensive for you. Don't bother with that. So Absalom said, okay, if you can't come, at least tell my brothers to come. Tell Ammon to come. And he should, you know, that was a red flag. David should have known, you know. And he said, why should he go with you? The Holy Spirit actually beeped him. Why should he go with you? And all the background was there that he had raped his, this 2 years after, he had raped his sister, you know, and all of that. And I shared this last time. David was not as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he used to be. And I said something that I think is a lesson for all of us. There is something about wealth and comfort that makes us not stay on our spiritual toes. Once most of our needs are met, we're sharing with somebody recently, said it's not good for you to be a kind of Christian that is only when you need something you go to God. You know, many of us are like that. It's because we're facing one challenge in our lives or the other. Maybe you're not married yet, or you haven't had children, or you're wanting a breakthrough financially. That's what motivates most people to come to church. It is not wrong, but it becomes wrong when it becomes the main priority. Jesus said it this way in the New Testament. He said, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you ate bread and fish. That is still true. In fact, it's probably more true today than in Jesus' time. I haven't done any statistics on this, but, you know, I just, you know, wager a guess, probably over 70% of the church, if not more, is like that. They come to church because they have one problem or the other. Now, it's not wrong to trust God for survival, but that must not be the main reason why you serve God. You must serve God because you want to, I'm going to make it very simple, become like God. You know, that's what Christianity is. It's to make you like God. We're already like God. All men, both sinner and saint, are already created in the image and likeness of God. But that image has been severely distorted by sin. That's why Jesus came. When you remove the sin nature in the spirit, soul, and body of man, then that man starts becoming more like God. And then, and ultimately, what God wants us to be is gods on the earth. We're Elohim. We're just an extension of the Godhead. So, you know, David, you know, he became comfortable. He was in the palace. Saul was dead. Nobody was running after him anymore. His enemies, most of the Philistines, he had conquered them. Everybody was bringing tribute. David relaxed. And it affected his spiritual sensitivity, and he paid dearly for it. So Absalom kills only Ammon, but David was afraid that all the boys had been killed. And then, you know, this bad boy, Jonathan, whatever his name was, you know, Jonadab, terrible name. That's why his name is bad, Jonadab. I'm only joking. You know, anyway. You know, he tells David, no, it's only Ammon. So, you know, and then I'm going to read verse 33. Right. So, he kills him, and the Bible says, Jonadab says, you know, only Ammon is dead. Verse 34, that's where we stop. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked and said, behold, there come much people, and you know, all the other all the other children were fine. Absalom, like I told you last time, his mother was not an Israelite. This is one of David's big problems. And Solomon magnified this problem 100-fold. I think he did more than 100-fold. You know, because I don't think David had to up to I don't know how many he had. You know, anyway, I don't let him get sidetracked. You know, the thing about it is, you know, so Absalom runs away. And because in that place, David couldn't send anybody there to come and kill him. You know, which is what David should have done. This is where I stopped. David should have had Absalom executed. As it turns out, Absalom still dies. But a lot of other people died unnecessarily with Absalom. And David is going to answer to God for those lives. At the Bema seat of Christ, he's still going to answer. There's still blood on his hands. One of the reasons why God said, you can't build that temple. You got too much blood on your hands. It's part of it. Apart from killing Uriah the Hittite, look at all the blood. Hundreds died, if not thousands, because of Absalom. And David was so, and all parents, all of us need to learn this. I love my children very much. My wife knows. In fact, my wife says sometimes I'm too emotional about my children. But really, the truth about the matter is that God comes first. And if you break God's laws, my child or not my child, I'm going to tell you the way it is. I'll do everything I can to help you. Don't misunderstand me. But I am not going to compromise the word of God for you. You must love God more than you love your children. If any man loves father, mother, sisters, children, wife, more than me, he says he's not worthy of me. We learn that lesson here. It's a very difficult lesson. Many of us are so emotionally attached to our children, we can't even correct them. My wife was, somebody was asking, it came to us about something about their children and all that. So my wife quoted a Yoruba proverb. Let me say it in English. Beat my child, build my child, does not enter the heart of the person who owns the child. Franca, mad don't go. But seriously, you know, it's a different world we're living in. Pastor G, remember when you were a kid? Remember when I was a kid? In my childhood, anybody in the neighborhood can beat you. Then when you come home, your parents will beat you on top. Now it's child abuse. They will lock you in jail. Don't touch anybody's child. When we were growing up, it's one of the things that helped us. Because in the neighborhood, you know, I lived in Ikoyi. I lived in Surulere first. Then later on, we lived in Ikoyi. You know, I remember my road, you know, the Duro Cement is still very good friends, you know. I was as terrified of Lukman's mother as I was my own mother. Maybe more. She will slap you, beat you, then take you to your mother. Then your mother too will beat you and slap you. So you know you don't misbehave in their house. Nowhere to hide. Let your children know. I can't run to mommy. I can't run to daddy. I can't run to uncle. I can't run. We all say the same thing. Bible. Give the Lord a clap offering. David failed in this area with a big F. You know, I've said this before, but it bears repetition. The reason why God did not want a monarchy is because the next king must be one of the sons of the present king.
whether they are spiritually qualified or not. So God said, I don't want you to have a king. They insisted. God said, okay, I'll give you a king. And like I told to share with us last time, what God wanted was a spiritual dynasty, not a biological monarchy. A spiritual dynasty. So he told them, okay. Look, when you guys have a, when you get down, you say you want a king, I'll give you a king. But this is what the king should do. Let him take a copy of the law. Let him put it in his, say it every day, so he will learn to fear the Lord his God, so his heart will not be lifted up. You know, if they had done that, then God would have created, watch this, a spiritual dynasty in the midst of the biological monarchy. That was the plan. Sadly, they didn't do it. David had many boys, many sons. You know, he had so many wives. Let's go there. You know, none of them was qualified. The best was Solomon. And the best was not good enough. It's a big lesson for us. Today, the equivalent of the biological monarchy is the Pentecostal denominational system. It was Pa Elton who used to call it the head and shoulders Saul government. Give Pa Elton a super clap offering. Great man. You know, it's a Saul. I was not laughing. When I go and see Pa, he said, you know, this is just the Saul system. And you know why? Once you start a branching system, for example, if I open a branch of Scripture Pastor, God forbid, you know, I was actually planning to open one in VR. I was going to send Pastor Larry and Kunle to Lagos to go and pastor the church in Obati Sonu. I'm serious. When you open a branch, you have to post a man there. Whether God called the man, you don't know. That's why I was using Frank. And Frank, as an example, the correct system is for you to preach and teach the word of God, which God will now put in the hearts of men. Those men will grow spiritually, and God himself will call them. Then they will go and start a church, or whatever it is God told them to do, and they will still have that link with you spiritually. That's the natural system, just like you have a natural tree. When you have a natural tree, you know, the sap from the earth, you know, the water and all the nutrients come in, and then the tree begins to grow branches and fruit. But it takes years, and our people cannot wait. So they will open shop. You've heard the joke. Many years ago, somebody said to somebody, he said, Ejiashi church, okpe baje. In other words, let's open a church. It's very profitable. True story. I heard somebody say, you know, I'm going to close down that church. You know why? It's not viable. The guy was not, there's a certain minimum amount that the guy has to bring to headquarters on a monthly basis. And the guy was not returning. So the guys in headquarters, they closed, well, in one case, they just removed the man. They removed him and God put him somewhere else and go and put somebody who knows how to get money from the people. It's a bastardized system. Enough said. So the Davidic dynasty is a spiritual dynasty. It is not a biological monarchy. And it was never the will of God. This biological monarchy, this is what God told me in 1992 when I was thinking of doing it. Because that was what everybody was doing. You know, if you want to grow, you go and open branch in London, open branch in New York, open branch in everybody fell on New York. Pastor G, but I like Lord New York. You know, open branch all over the whole place. You know, and God said, don't do it. He said, you will breed Absalom and Adonijahs. Look at what happened. So Absalom goes to his mom's town or country, whatever, Geshur, I think it is, yes. And Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ahimud, king of Geshur. Watch this. And David mourned for his son every day. How can you mourn for a murderer? I want to ask you a question. Why don't you mourn for Ammon? And innocent Tamar, who was raped at your instruction to take food to her brother. See how misplaced David's emotions were. Everybody be careful. You can misplace your emotions. Love your children, don't misunderstand me. But when you need to tell them the truth, tell them the truth. Even though you say it in love, but be firm. This is not the right way to go. Don't do this. We're going to see that as we get to Adonijah, if time permits and we get there. So, you know, so Absalom stays there for about 3 years or so. I'm going to cut the story short, you know. Look at verse 39. Oh my God. You know, these verses make me angry. Angry in the sense that I love David though. Let's give David a super clap offering. Great God, great saint. One of the greatest saints. David's one of the greatest saints. No, apart from Jesus, I don't think anybody has as much scripture written about him like David. David, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st Chronicles, you know, the whole Psalms, well, not whole, but a lot of, almost 70% of the Psalms, if not more, is David. Another clap offering for David. But you can be great and fail in some areas. And that's what we must learn from the life of David. However great you are, your spirituality should be holistic. In other words, it should cover every area. You shouldn't be strong in one area and then weak in another area. Satan will take advantage of it. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. Can you imagine? And he had other children who? Adonijah, they were all there. Absalom was not the only son. For he was comforted concerning Ammon, seeing he was dead. Chapter 14, 2 Samuel 14. I'm not going to read everything. To cut a long story short, Joab, let's just read verse 1. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom. Absalom had committed murder. By law, if Absalom comes back, he should be killed. That's why Absalom fled. But David is weak. He's weak emotionally. Joab, is a lot of people don't know many of. That's why you need to study the scriptures deeply. Joab is a nephew to David and his brothers. Joab's mommy was David's sister. That's why the genealogies are not for decoration. You know, while we're reading the Bible, and this one begat this one, and this one begat this one, and this one. That's why you need to read it. So, he's his uncle. And Joab is his commander-in-chief in the army. So, Joab knows David very well. Bye-bye. So, Joab goes to play some trickery. You know, I won't go into. So, he gets a woman, and the woman comes and tells David a lie. That her two sons died and, you know, they fought each other. Then the other one wants to, you know, they want to kill the other one. Anyway, it's similar to what David was experiencing. He has one son is dead. Then the law is saying that the other son should die. So David said, oh, no, your son will not die, you know. And, you know, I will tell them to come. I will solve the problem. Then he now reveals, this is Joab who sent this woman that, you know, the judgment that has come out of my mouth is that, okay, I should pardon Absalom. So he now sends, it's Joab he sends. This is all going to be very significant in the next few minutes. It is Joab who initiated this thing just as to honor David. because he's his uncle. He loves him. And said, he's mourning about this boy. Let me find a way of bringing him back. So Joab brings Absalom back to town. But David says he will not see my face. Let him stay in his house, but he must not come to the palace. All that is cutting the branches. Do you understand? You see, when you don't do the right thing, you open the door for the devil. You open the door for the devil. That, you know, he was trying to show that, okay, I'm strict and I'm punishing Absalom. But that's not the punishment. You shouldn't come to the palace. I won't see his face. So you know what? Absalom, the rebellion in his heart over these years, we're looking at 5 years. It's good. That's why you need to read the Bible. Amon rapes Tamar. 2 years, Absalom doesn't do anything. Absalom kills his brother, runs to Geshur for 3 years. So we have a total of 5 years. All these years, rebellion has been growing in the heart of Absalom. He was going from bad to worse. I've said it many times in this series of teachings. The reason why this church is clean like that, thank God for Mommy and Auntie Sholak, we give them a super clap offering, is because they organize people who make sure they clean this place every week. That's why the place is nice. To the glory of God. Leave, as nice as this place is, leave the windows open. You understand? And leave it for 1 week and come back. You will see dust. You don't even need 1 week. 1 or 2 days, you will see dust. If you leave the windows open, you will see flies. You will see mosquito. Are you listening to me? You say, why? Because that's what's in the atmosphere. So is your heart. If you leave your heart unattended, if you do not daily, I didn't say weekly. Everyone say daily. He said, take up your cross. Take up your cross weekly. Take up your cross monthly. Take up your cross when you are in problem. You know, most Christians don't obey that instruction. We don't do it. If you don't keep your heart daily with all diligence, if you don't clean it every day with the blood of Jesus to remove everything, even it might be little things, sons, but the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and pray about it, that heart will become dirty. You know why? There's mosquito in the atmosphere. There's dust in the atmosphere, spiritually now. There are flies. And incidentally, you know, Satan is called Beelzebub, the Lord of Flies. They will come and sit in your heart. And that's why a lot of hearts of Christians are deteriorating. When I talk about the heart, I'm talking about your spirit. I'm talking about the soul, body, and circumstances. The soul, body, and will, mind, and emotions. And you see, that's what happened to Absalom. Absalom's heart went, it was bad before. It went from bad to worse. 5 years, no God. In 2 years of ruminating on malice, vengeance, and revenge. Then he runs away, then spends another 3 years feeling horrible and bad and everything. His heart, where the Bible says, we looked at this last time, when judgment against an evil work is not speedily, everybody screams speedily, executed. He said, the hearts of men is fully set to perform evil. It will happen to any of us. It will happen to any of us. You don't keep that heart. If you do something, what I taught us during the Bible study, I, Olubi Johnson, judge myself daily. I don't just preach it. I judge myself daily. I condemn my wicked actions and attitudes. You know, I crucify the lusts of the flesh in my soul and body that caused them. I receive mercy unto God to soften my heart, to enable me to repent and to be faithful, receiving wisdom and instruction, and therefore have victory over joy. I do it every day. I don't. If I miss any other prayer, I don't miss that one. It's crucial because I know The human, the Bible says, mommy quotes the scripture often, you know. Some years ago, I remember it was a big thing. You know, she used to quote, you know, she quote it from the Amplified. She said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. She quote from the Amplified Bible, mortally sick. You don't deal with it, it would deteriorate. As surely as this place will deteriorate, if we open the windows, let flies, mosquito, butterfly, everything enter, and nobody sweeps it, nobody looks after it. Come in 2-3 days' time, this place will be dirty. So is your heart. So you can imagine, watch this, Prof. Absalom's heart opened to rubbish for 5 years. It showed up. I'll tell you the story. Absalom comes back to town. David, trying to be strict, a false strictness, not a real one, you know, they can't see me. So Absalom stays in his house. After he's been around for about 2 or 3 hours, he now calls Joab. What he actually does is very bad, you know. Joab, he goes to burn Joab's fields. This boy, eh? Absalom. He goes to burn Joab's fields. He sends his servants to go and burn. So Joab now comes, hey, what are you doing? You know, why? How do you like come and burn my fields and all that? He said, since I've been here all this time, the king doesn't want to see me. If he wants to kill me, let him kill me. But I can't just be sitting in my house and the king will not see me. So Joab says, since that's your problem, okay, come. He takes him by the hand, takes him to the palace. You know, let's quickly look at, just highlight that particular, those particular scriptures. You know, and to cut a long story short, you know, he this guy, eh? Thank you, darling. You know, so Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face. It's false humility. To the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. He should have killed him. I'm serious. I mean, you won't kill your own son. Nobody does that. But I would have delegated it to the authorities. There's a law in the land. Remember Deuteronomy 21 that I told us the other day, everybody was shaking. And mommy came to try and comfort us. He said, if you have a son, it's in the Bible. You know that scriptures, people don't like to read those scriptures. They wish those scriptures were not in the Bible. But they are there. He said, if you have a son, and he's stubborn, he's lazy, he's rebellious, he's a glutton, we're talking about overeating, he's a drunkard, he said his parents should take him to the elders of the city. He said, this is our son. Quickly cut there and cut back to 2 Samuel. Because it's very relevant. It's Deuteronomy 21. Somewhere in there. You know? He said, this is our son. Aha. He said, and they shall stay unto the elders of the city. This is our son. Is their child that came out from their bodies. Not adopted. Their own son. Is stubborn. Look at the things God hates. Rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton. He has no control over his appetite. A drunkard. Next verse. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put away evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Observe. The evil God has spoken, he has not reached Absalom's level. This boy didn't kill anybody. What? Why did God allow this boy to be killed? Attitudes. Stubborn. Rebellious. Drunkard. Glutton. We must see things the way God sees them. But I want to tell you good news. You know, and mom told you the other day, you know, this is not the will of God. God doesn't want to kill anybody. He doesn't want to stone anybody's son. Certainly not. God God is love. And then, ah, this Old Testament. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 2, I think it is, you know, and one of the churches, Thyatira or somewhere, said, that woman called Jezebel, who is teaching my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know that I am he that searches the hearts and the reins. He has not changed. God hasn't undergone therapy. Between Old and New Testament, is the same God. But I'm going to come back to what I'm saying. You know his love? His love. You know this boy hasn't yet reached Absalom's son. Don't let him reach Absalom's son. Let him come to heaven. Don't let him reach Absalom's son. Let him come to heaven. But you know, everybody can avoid this. How? I quoted it earlier on. If you confess and forsake. He said, you will receive what? Mercy. And mercy will what? So there is a way out. So you don't have to be afraid of these scriptures. There is a way out. When you read such scriptures, you know what you should say? I read this scripture as a 21-year-old boy. After I got saved in England. And when I read it, I remember because it hit my heart. Ah! I was afraid. And I said, God, help me. I will not be stubborn. I will not be rebellious. I'm not going to be a glutton. And I'm not going to be a drunkard. That's what it brought out from me. It did not bring rebellion. And say, ah, how can God say this? This Bible is old fashioned. It cannot be the word of God. You know, No. That's foolishness. I said, God, help me. So if you find yourself stubborn, rebellious, any of those things, just quickly say, God, please, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. Quick. You know, and you know what? Everybody say, mercy will triumph over judgment. So you're going to be okay. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Okay. So I made you happy now. Praise the Lord. Okay. But that's the balance. But you see, this is the God we serve. God doesn't like all this nonsense. So Absalom, Joab brings him back. He kisses the king. The king kisses him. He shouldn't have done that. All the recurrent mistake after. Because David was not as sensitive in the spirit as he used to be when he was in the wilderness. The comfort of the palace had weakened his spiritual senses. And it's true for all of us. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for a nice house. Thank God for a nice car. Thank God for nice clothes. Like my wife and I now, to the glory of God. You know, all our children have finished. Joshua Lupi has finished now. You know, we're not paying school fees again. In Jesus' mighty name. You know. And, you know, yeah. You know, but if you're not careful, it is the time of your greatest comfort and blessing that can be the time of your greatest danger. But, you know, my wife and I, to the glory of God, we have refused to live a life of comfort. Even though we have comfort. We get up 3 o'clock every morning, 3:30. Pray in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. You know, we fast. I live a fasted life every day. Every day. No breakfast. No lunch. Normal. I only take lunch occasionally if I have a visitor. You know, and usually it's even later in the day. And I make sure I try and do as much praying as I can before I eat. Because I don't want to lose my spiritual sensitivity simply because I have prospered. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still on my side, wave to me. But you're looking at me as if you're no longer on my side. The Bible said, they said to Jesus, this is a heart. Who can hear it? You know, God helped me. God has had mercy on me. And he's having my wife and I. You know, we eat only once in a day. There are days we don't eat. They'll make the food say, take it away. I want to pray. We must learn that thing. It's called self-denial. Self-denial. And the reason why many of our pastors and big men and all that is that once they prosper,
once they prosper, they have big car, big house, everything, they lose their spiritual sensitivity. They lose their spiritual discipline. And that's what happened to David. So he kissed Absalom, this boy. You know what happens? Absalom now begins to plot rebellion against his own father. 2 Samuel chapter 15. I can't finish it today. I will stop, then we'll pick it. You know, you see this David thing, eh? It's deep. And you know why? Every Christian is of the Davidic dynasty. So everything you are reading here is to have application in your life. Your divine destiny and the destiny of your children are recorded here. And you can make your decisions now that none of my children will be like Absalom. None of my children will be like Adonijah. It's not enough just to say the name of Jesus. You have to enforce it. Through prayer, intercession, and discipline. There are four ways of bringing up a child. If you listen to my series, you know. Number one, prayer. Number two, example. Number three, instruction. Number four, discipline. All my children know what I stand for. I don't condemn them and all that, but I said, look, and I tell them, I said, we are living in perilous times. You are enjoying covering because of me and your mommy. I said, but the hour is coming and now is where you yourself have to start giving yourself covering. The other day, it was Dara who was joking with mommy. You know, mother fasting and prayer. He said, mommy, just be fasting. Just be fasting. Mommy said, you too, you will start fasting. Eh? Why is it only mommy? You too fast. Let mommy and daddy, let do the fasting. Let's be enjoying the blessing. Let mommy and daddy do the fasting. Mommy was like, mommy said, you fast too. You fast along with us. Thank God mommy and daddy are still around. And we're going to be around until Jesus comes. But you know, you shouldn't let your children have a false sense of security. There's a time for your own responsibility to step to the plate. So, Absalom. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Everybody, give Bill Britton a clap offering. He's a great spiritual father, like George Warnock. It was Bill Britton's book I read this from. This 50 represents Pentecost. You know, only a prophet can bring that out. Absalom represents the Pentecostal pastors and saints who, instead of using that Pentecostal anointing to go on to perfection, they use it to indulge the lusts of the flesh. You will wind up like Absalom and Adonijah. It's a prophetic truth. Why 50? Why 50? God was putting a symbolic message there. He had 50 men. His father rode on a mule. Absalom is riding on horses. And then he puts, you know, normally if you're going to get, you just get a few horses. 50! Talk about pride of life. Bad boy. Bad boy! 50! And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy and came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city are you? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed who has been deputized of the king to hear thee. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were judged in the land, that every man that had any suit might cause to come unto me,
and I will do him justice. Be careful of branches, oh. That's all. It always happens. That's why so many of the they are now having problem with their branches. It breeds Absaloms and Adonijahs. Because after some time, that guy will start feeling that he's even better than the senior pastor. And he'll start telling the other people that. We've seen it happen over and over and over. Franco, you know now. Pastor Frank, you know. We've seen it happen over and over. Pastor G, over and over. I'm not going to mention this because I never mention personalities. So many, you know, who were in a particular denomination, God will use them. They will build a big church. They will do very well. Then they start becoming a threat to the guy in headquarters. Then they kick them out. Oppose them to Abba. Rim. The guy has spent 10 years of his life building a church. Then the guys from headquarters will say, no. You know, go to one small, go to Hussein. Then the guys who they like, they say, you go to New York. You go to London. You go to Chicago. It's a man-made system, and it always breeds Absaloms and Adonijahs. We have seen it. I'm going to close soon. I'm not going to get to Adonijah today. I'm going to stop with Absalom. So anyway, Absalom, look at what the Bible says. And it was so, verse 5. Now when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he loved worship. He loved people to come and bow to him. Very proud. And he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. On this manner, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, what? Stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He began to undermine his own father. And I'll tell you the reason, honey. He felt he was a better judge than his father. Why? His daddy did not judge on Ammon. His daddy killed Uriah the Hittite and married his wife. Oh, they had legitimate reason. So he felt, I'll be a better king than my dad. So anybody who comes, when they come and say, oh, what did the king tell you? If he gave me, he didn't say, make me king. He said, if you made me a judge, I would give you justice. People say, it's true, Absalom. And so the loyalty of their hearts shifted. This was not, honey, it was not done in a corner. It was done at the gate. Another carelessness of David. Are you going to tell me David was not hearing? But he did nothing. Somebody said this. They said, evil thrives when good men do nothing. And they do nothing. He didn't do anything. I'm sure reports were coming to him. Absalom. Oh God, you are sitting here. Absalom. Anyway, after some time, it blew into a full blown rebellion. When the sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, the hearts of men in them are fully set to do evil. David was the one who allowed this nonsense. He allowed the, you know, Absalom. Who gave you permission to be at the gate? Who gave you permission to be hearing matters after I have made a decision? I put a note here Sentiment must not take the place of principle. And we do that often. Sentiment will take the place of principle. To cut a long story short, Absalom, he now brings a conspiracy against his father. And then he finds a perfect landing. This is actually a mistake in the translation. It's actually four. You know, you have to know the Hebrew and the Greek. You know, it was when they were doing the transcription. There's no way. Because David didn't live more than 70. This cannot be accurate. You understand? Cannot be. It's actually four. It could now be 40 years. By that time, David would have been in his 80s. And we know David died at 70. So this is not correct. Okay. Aha! Look at the New International Version. Now, after, that's the correct translation. After 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord." This boy doesn't know God from Adam. He's totally backslidden. His heart is rooted in rebellion. Next verse. "While your servant was living at Gershon, I made this vow to the Lord." Religious talk. Just to try and make his father happy. Next verse. "And the king said unto him," ah, David careless, yeah. "Go in peace." Next verse. "And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then shall you say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." Absalom. The church is full of them. Absalom hearts. Not here by the grace of God. You know. But I want you to know that anybody who is careless spiritually, that heart can shift. Absalom. The person, I don't blame Absalom, I blame David. David careless. She didn't know what was going on. Next verse. I'm not going to go through everything. "And Absalom went 200 with 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity." You know, Absalom is David's son. So when he calls for them, he was the son of the king. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's David. They thought he was loyal to his father. Next verse. "And Absalom sent a landing site." He found the person whose heart was ready for rebellion, because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And he had been waiting for an opportunity to deal with David. He felt that the punishment God gave David was not enough. Yeah, you know, Ammon died, but that's nothing, you know. I'll tell you something the Holy Spirit revealed to me. This is not in Bible, but if you listen to me, you'll see that it must be true. Ahithophel is no fool. And Ahithophel is a man of great wisdom. Absalom is the fool. The reason why Ahithophel agreed with Absalom was that he will first of all kill David. Then after dealing with David, he will now deal with Absalom. So and he will become king. Absalom was the fool. So he was playing his game. Beguiler beguiled. Ah, you want to rebel against your father? Yes, yes, it's good, it's good. "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong. For the people increased." Everybody scream it continually. Rebellion is attractive. All the people who had one grudge or the other against David. Opportunities. The rebellion was strong. Let me quickly rush and finish. just Absalom for today. We're going to deal with Adonijah tomorrow or next Sunday. You know? So the rebellion was strong. Ahithophel and some strong guys, you know, agreed with them. But some of the faithful people didn't. Nathan didn't. Everybody give Nathan a clap offering. Zadok didn't. The priest, you know, the guys who really knew God, they did not go with Absalom. You know, and some of the today what we'll call the brigade of guards. There's always a set of people who look after the king who are in the palace. Many of them did not go. They stayed with David. Joab, in this case, was faithful. He failed later on, but for now. And Joab was in charge of the army. So he got some of his boys, you know. And remember, he was David's nephew, you know. So he got some of the guys, you know, the palace guides and all of that, you know. But they said, Absalom had become so strong. They now advised David, you have to leave Jerusalem. If Absalom rides into Jerusalem from Hebron and they find you there, they are going to kill you. So David flees. You know, sometimes when I read this story, I start to cry. Why? Because I love David so much. But David was so careless. He had to leave Jerusalem. You know? Let me just read that verse. I'm just going to highlight that particular verse. You know? And there came a messenger, verse 13, to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil from us upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. What were you doing? What were you doing to let this thing get to that level? So you know the kind of son you have. That he will smite Jerusalem, kill people in the city. So that, look, instead of a fight, because if there's a fight in the city, there'll be a lot of civilian casualties. Let's go. So anyway, I'm going to round up the story. So David leaves Jerusalem. So some people go with him. You know, Nathan, some guys. So David now does something wise. God helps him. He prays a prayer. He said, oh God. He said, turn the counsel of Ahithophel. Because he knew. Because Ahithophel has been his counselor for years. He and Ahithophel were good friends. He knew. They said, the scripture says that in those days, that the counsel of Ahithophel was like going to the oracle of God to go and get. It's always correct. He said, as it was with David, so it was with Absalom. And so it was with Absalom. So he knew that, Ahithophel is the one who is advising Absalom, Absalom is going to be victorious. So he runs, but he prays that prayer. On the way, some interesting things happen. I'm just going to hit them running and close. You know, as David is going out of Jerusalem, he is distraught. He's weeping. He's crying. He's going up the hill of Ziba. He's barefooted. There is a crazy guy. His name is Shimei. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He takes stones and he begins to stone David. Let me say it in Yoruba. You kill Saul. You killed his sons. Now God has brought vengeance upon you. God will punish you today. What the bad things you've done, God is going to return it on your head. You know, now your own son is raised up against you and threw dust in the air. Joab's brothers. Those boys are something else. They said, my lord the king, who is this? This Benjamite? He said, just give me one word. I will just go across and take his head off now. Now! and he would have done it. Because they were great warriors. David said, you sons of Zeruiah. He said, you are too hard for me. He said, if my own son wants to kill me, how much more this Benjamin? You just leave him. Let's go. So David calmed them down. He now prayed that prayer. Then he did something wise. The priests wanted to go with him. So David said, don't do that. Don't do that. You stay in Jerusalem with the ark. You stay. Your dad will go with me. But the son of the priest said, you stay. He says, so that if there is anything, you'll be able to come and report to us what they're doing. Then he had another friend called Hushai. Hushai is a nice guy. So Hushai goes to David because he's very loyal to David. And Hushai says, I'll go with David said, don't go. You stay in Jerusalem and pretend as if you are in agreement with Absalom. So that if they want to do anything, you will know. And you'll be able to send Jonathan, the son of the priest, the son of Zadok. They will come and meet us in the wilderness and they will let us know what's going on. So Hushai too stays back with some of the priests. So when Absalom rides into Jerusalem, you know, Hushai meets him. So Absalom asks him, is this how you repay your friend? Hushai said, so I serve the father, so I will serve the son. You know, when you are proud, you won't think. Pride is a terrible thing. It kills you. I said, okay. You know, so they now make a council. The council was this. Ahithophel says, David is weak now. He's discouraged. He said, let us chase after him now. Once we chase after him now, when we get near the people, we will not kill anybody. We will just isolate David, the king. He says, I will go. Ahithophel, horrible man. He said, I will go. I will smite the king only. And once I kill him, all the other people will just, you know, come back to us, onto our side. He said, and we need to do it now. And it was the right thing to do. Ahithophel was absolutely correct. Hushai gets up in the meeting and says, the counsel of Ahithophel now is not good. He said, you know your father is a warrior. He's been a warrior from the day of his youth. They are going to go and hide in a cave and they will hide in the woods somewhere. We won't know where they are. If we go out now, they will be able to counterattack and kill people. Let us stay. Let more people come. Let's strengthen ourselves before we go. We can't just go with a few men after David. You know, David and Joab, they are very, very, very strong warriors. And that too was of a point. Then God moved in. Give the Lord a clap offering. David's prayer was answered from the air. God put it in Absalom's heart. They said, yes, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. Let's do what Hushai said. Let's reinforce ourselves. Then when we reinforce ourselves properly, then we'll go after them. And the Bible says, and so God turned. Give the Lord a clap of praise. These are wonderful scriptures. So God turned the counsel of Ahithophel. So you know what happens. It gives David and his men time to reorganize, to rest, you know. And a lot of people were very faithful to David. Not too many, but good number of people. They sent food, sent all kinds of things, help and encourage David. David, at that time, probably the lowest time point in David's life, David was not sure whether God wanted to kill him or not. Because all his sins had come back to him. What he did with Bathsheba, what he did with Ammon, you know. So he said, well, if it pleases the Lord, I will come back to Jerusalem. And if it does not please him, it's okay too. But, you know, he was despondent and rightly so. You know, but you know, God is a good. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You know, God is a good God. And he does not forget the labor of your love. God remembered Saul. When David had the opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't. So this was payback time. God said, you won't die. Don't worry. I'll take care of this guy. To cut a long story short, there's a civil war in Israel, inside the woods, not in Jerusalem. If it was in Jerusalem, it would have been bloody. It was inside the woods amongst the soldiers alone. And there was a lot of fighting and all of that. A lot of people died. So in the middle of the battle, as they were going, another weakness of David. You know, sometimes David, God have mercy. You know, as they were going to fight, he said, please be careful about the young man Absalom. Can you imagine? Be careful, oh. Don't let anybody do anything to Absalom. And all the warriors heard it. So as they were riding through the woods and all of that, you know how God traps the wicked. Absalom, the thing of his vanity, his hair. He's going through a low thicket. So his hair gets entangled inside the branches. His horse leaves him and he's hanging with his hair just in the middle. One soldier sees him, but he leaves him. The king's son. I won't touch him. So he comes back and reports to Joab that I saw Absalom in a thicket and he's hanging between him. Joab said, why did you kill him? The man said, you, this Joab. He said, if I killed him, it is you who would have killed me. We all heard when the king said that none of us should touch Absalom. I'm not going to touch him, oh. So, you know, Joab said, okay, show me where he is. So he showed him where he is. So Joab goes on his horse, you know, and he sees Absalom hanging from the air, you know, with his hair. You know, he was caught. And he couldn't do anything because he had no horse under him. He couldn't jump down. His hair was there. He had nothing to remove his hair, you know. He was hanging between heaven and earth. Joab didn't waste time. He took three spears, javelins, thump, 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 killed him straight on the spot. Absalom goes straight to hell. Didn't say amen. You're not Absalom, are you? Straight. Straight. God uses Joab to execute. And I can't, I understand Joab. I brought this boy. I helped him. I pleaded on his behalf for his father. And this boy now rebels, and so many of my warriors have been killed because of this silly boy. Fum, 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 quick! So once Absalom died, the rebellion crumbles. So David is waiting for news. So he sees people running, 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 running. There's one guy who's a black guy, you know, and there was another, you know, who's an Israelite guy. So the other guy comes first and says, as David said, what's going on in the battle? He said, there's a big noise, but I don't know what happened. In fairness to that guy, he didn't know what happened. He didn't see it, you know. Then there was another, the Cushite. He was a black guy. He now ran. And he said, we know that guy is a Cushite. He will come with good news. So immediately he gets to David. He said, David said, how went the battle? How is the young man Absalom? He said, look, God do so to all the enemies of David. Let them be like the young man Absalom. David starts to cry. Can you believe? Joab comes back. All the warriors are back. The rebellion has been crushed. You know, he starts crying for not his warriors who died, but for his son who rebelled and caused so many innocent lives to be lost. Weeping! The Bible says all the men were so, everybody was feeling so bad. You know, they were their conscience. You know, everybody just went back to their tents and to their houses. You know, Joab confronted David. Now, I don't agree with Joab's tone. I agree with his principle, but not his tone. And he could have said the same thing in a nicer way. Nothing ever justifies rebellion. It's a lesson we all need to learn. Joab had a point. He was right. But the way he delivered the message was wrong. He went and he rebuked. The Bible says rebuke, not an elder. He rebuked David and said, David, so you would have been happy if we had died. and Absalom had lived. Look at how you are crying and all of that. Everybody is feeling so bad. He said, you better remove that tear from him. Okay, Lumbasoro. He said, you better clean your face and stop all this crying. Or what will happen to you tonight will be worse than everything that has happened to you since you were young. Even worse than what happened with Absalom. In other words, I myself, Joab, will lead a rebellion against you and you will not survive it. It was a threat. It was wrong. What should he have done? If I were Joab, I'm not Joab in Jesus' name. But you know the correct thing to have done? I would have called Nathan. Call Nathan. Call the priests, Zadok. Say, let's go and talk to the king. This is nonsense. Then they would have said, oh king, I know you feel for your son. Maybe it was me who brought Absalom. But look at what has happened. So many people have died. Please be encouraged. God has helped us. Absalom is dead. Let's forget it and let's move on. He could have said the same thing. And David would have listened. With Nathan and Zadok, they would have said, ah, oh, come on, David, you know, you can't do this, you know. But it would have been with honor and respect, not with a tone of rebellion. Anyway, David knew that this Joab is a bad boy. And so he quickly cleans his face. And that's how, stand to your feet. The rebellion of Absalom was quenched. But at what a cost. That is why today, it's going to pass here. I haven't had too much of a problem by the grace of God. I don't play with rebellion. Once I see it, I deal with it quick, decisive. Because if you leave it, it will fester. It will fester. Don't do it. No amount of sentiment. You got to deal with it. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. May God deliver us from an Absalom heart. It is frightening to think, honey, that he was David's son. A man after God's own heart. Pastor Abraham, the seed ought to reproduce after its kind, but it did not. The seed ought to reproduce after its kind, but it did not. Because David, we're going to see this next week with Adonijah, spoiled his children. He could not even say, stop that! No harsh words. All this psychology, don't talk to them, you know, don't beat them. And if you're upset, there's something. You are creating an Absalom. And if you're not careful, God forbid, it will not happen to you. That Absalom can kill you. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Beat the child. He will not die. Let not your soul spare him. He won't die. Nah, what if he dies? Well, he will go to heaven. No, I'm very serious. Rather than kill 500, 1,000 other people, if he had executed Absalom after Absalom killed Amnon, that would have been where the thing ended. So many innocent people died because of David's. Hello, David. Let's all learn the lesson. Don't make the mistake of David with your children. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Create in me a clean heart,
O
Lord.
And renew
a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord.
Oh Lord, and renew our cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me. Joy,
the joy of thy salvation,
and renew
a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Sing it to Him. We need it.
Create in me a clean heart.
It's talking about your soul.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away.
Cast me not away.
Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord.
Take not
your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me.
And renew a right spirit within.
Raise that hand up to God. One of the most important commandments we're given in the New Testament is to renew our minds. This is not talking about our spirits. It's the mind, the will, the emotion. The Bible says you renew it. And don't let your mind and your will and your be devoid of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is sad but true that many of our people are like that. They're born again. But the whole mind and will and all that is dominated by the devil most of the time. That's why you find born again Christians behaving like unbelievers. Adultery, fornication, active witchcraft, covetousness, rebellion is rife in the body. In a lot of places, endemic. It must stop. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you because these things were written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world has come. Your word says that whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that through the comfort and the patience of the scriptures we might have hope. Thank you for the lessons that we are learning from the lives of David, of Absalom, of Ammon, the good lessons we are to copy, the bad lessons we are to shun. Oh God, have mercy on me. I repent. I confess sins of rebellion, sins of stubbornness, sins of inordinate ambition. Oh God, I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive fresh life and power into my spirit. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I say, I am more meek and lowly in heart, and I will remain humble. I will allow you to do the work you want to do in me. I will take discipline. I will take correction. I will take rebuke, especially when it hurts my feelings, when it hurts my pride. I know you are doing a cleaning work. You are renewing a right spirit within me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. So the spirit of Absalom, the spirit of Adonijah will not enter my mind, my will, and my emotions. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shakato fredenga. Mercy, Lord. Frakatolo mashale keko fred. Father, le prekato frede. Nangara dosko fridia. Father, sala prekatolo shale preko koklo matolo mas tofredes. Father, thank you, Zakatolo. Tolo matu frede. Father, thank you, Zakatolo matolo matolo matu fredes. Lord Jesus, thank you, La Brikitolo Matufres. Lord Holy Spirit, Tala Mashtufrene. Thank you for your blood, La Brikitofrene. Thank you for your life, Shele Predofrene. Thank you for your power, Nakar, Lambrikitosk, Rikatolo, Lambrala, Solo Pri, Rikotofre, Lombradala, Sofre, Lambrikitolo Matufrenes, Tolo Matufrene Fres, Lambrikitolo Matufres, Zikitofrenes, Lombradolos, Labrea. In our souls, la prikitofrenes. In our bodies, la prikitofrenes. In our circumstances, la prikitofrenes. In our regional heavenlies, la prika rentofrenes. Insufficient measure, lambrotofrenes. Tofredengarosk. In Jesus' name. If you need healing and deliverance, it's already in the air. Just stretch forth your hands. If you are home, stretch your hands towards your device. Father, release the healing power that's already been released through your word that is in the air into the bodies and the minds of all those who are stretching forth their hands now in faith. We say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. We cast out the spirit of depression, of oppression, of rebellion, of ambition. And we impart unto you the spirit of a sound mind, of meekness and lowliness of heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't your neighbor say, don't miss next Sunday. We're going to deal with Adonijah. Bad boy. Bad boy. Sorry, darling. Bad boy. You know, Absalom, this Ahithophel, very bad man. He told David to go and sleep with his father's concubines. In the sight of Absalom, you know, in the sight of all Israel. He said, then your father, everybody will know your father hates you and you hate your father. You know, Ahithophel too went to hell. I didn't talk about him. He went to hell. When he saw they didn't follow his plan, he went to hang himself. Hell, one-way ticket. Straight. Joined Absalom. Rebellion never works. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, you overcome every spirit of rebellion, stubbornness, and covetousness. You have a meek and a lowly heart. And so you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.